Well, we're going to continue on from out of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through to 7 last week. We're going to concentrate on one of the blessings each week over the next couple of weeks. This week we're going to concentrate on the blessing of adoption. We are adopted into the family of God. It's one of those spiritual blessings that we'll mention in a minute from Ephesians chapter 1. Now, today we're going to have about three or four different Bible readings, so have your Bibles ready and jump along with us as we go, or you can just listen in. The thing with Facebook is you can go back and play it again if you miss the Bible reading. But just before we get in, I'm from an old school form of things where, as a young boy growing up in our church, the phrase "born again" was used a lot. And so, you know, July the 30th, 1978 was when I was born again. It's when I went forward, I put up my hand and said, yes, I want to follow Jesus. It's that story of Nicodemus and Jesus talking about it. And I wanted to say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. So as a youth pastor, we talked a lot about that commitment, that being born again into the family. And now as a Baptist pastor, I understand how we read the word. It says, repent and be Baptist, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So it's important for us to have this repentance and understanding of being born again, but we're born again into the family of God. And then we've got this thing called adoption. All week I've been looking at this thing about adoption, and it's really inspired me in a lot of different ways. I still love the whole area of, you know, that reaching out and saying, yes, I want to follow Jesus. And I think that's an important step for us all to say, yep, I want to follow Jesus. But it's also an important thing to understand what God's doing in and behind all that and before all that. Does that make sense? Let's have a look at it anyway. However, this week as I've been doing the prep, as I said, the whole theme and blessing of adoption, I can see that we often neglect it in our pulpit and sometimes in our songs, although we've had some very good songs today that highlight the promise of adoption. Sometimes in our programs and sometimes in our gospel, we even forget to mention about adoption. And yet, in our Bible, from Job to Jesus, from Moses to Paul, from the prophets to the epistles, adoption is mentioned all the way through. The failing to reflect on or celebrate our adoption can skew our faith and can limit our relationship with God. It can undermine our sense of purpose, identity, and our confidence. However, there is good news for those of us who are grabbing hold of this, and hopefully today we can grab hold of it a bit more, as I have done more this week, and we can see that change and we continue to see that transformation take place. A spirit of adoption can incredibly recast the way we understand faith, to read scriptures, to practice discipleship, and experience that daily love from God the Father. Our first reading is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. Let's read it together, shall we? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to be adopted as sons and daughters by Christ Jesus himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 6. And that's reading from the New King James. A couple of quick notes from that one passage. Adoption is one of those blessings in Christ. So we get this blessing because we are in Christ. We were chosen from the very day, the very before, the very foundation of the ground that we walk on was set, that we should be blameless and adopted as sons and daughters by Jesus, according to his good pleasure and to his praise and glory. Adoption has got to be arguably one of the most amazing Christian aspects, or a great hidden secret. Great in its place in God's plan for our universe. Great in its capacity to reform our life and our faith. Great in its brilliance and promise and purpose. Adoption demonstrates the compassion of God as he welcomes us, the lost and vulnerable children, into his family. The family we know as God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, longs to welcome us into the intimacy of their love. They have gone to incredible lengths to ensure that the way is cleared for us to come home to be with them. in his letter to the Galatian church, Paul, the Apostle Paul, ties this beautifully together as a picture of adoption in the heart of the gospel itself. Let's just read from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth his Spirit as his Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then the heir of God through Christ. Isn't that a beautiful part of the gospel? How, you know, from the very beginning of time, God had this in place. And at the right time, in the fullness of time, God sent his only son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those of us who were caught under the law, and therefore to receive this adoption as sons and daughters, so that we might be able to have in our hearts crying out, Abba Father. Now we're going to have a look at Abba Father a little bit in a minute. But isn't that amazing that we can cry out to God, the creator of all that is, Abba Father. That beautiful, close relationship with God. That's just amazing. What a blessing that is that we can do that. Until Jesus came, we were under the authority, mankind, all people, of the slave driver who the Bible calls Satan. But Abba Father had a plan, and it was from the very beginning of time, that Jesus was to pay the full price, and that we therefore would no longer live in darkness, messed about by the lies of the enemy, lost and afraid, but we were to come out into the light, to know the truth, to be found, and to be bold and courageous. What a beautiful comparison. No longer in darkness but in light. No longer lost but found. No longer listening to lies but being able to be bold and courageous. Have you heard anywhere in the scriptures where God said be bold and courageous? And that's all part of being in the family, being a part of what God has for us, of stepping out, knowing who we are. As the Johnson family became a family, we had little girls. One of the things that Cynthia and I used to say all the time to the girls is, we're Johnsons, we don't do that. We're followers of Jesus Christ. This is who we are, bold and courageous, because we're a part of the heavenly family. Now, just going back, the picture of adoption that Paul talks about again and again, both in Ephesians and Galatians, is something that was done in the Roman world again and again. Now, I'm going to try and go through this a little bit more. It's very complicated, and if you look it up online, you'll be able to see all these beautiful Latin words that actually took place and the ceremony that took place. For a Roman man to set free a slave to become his adopted son was a lengthy process, and there was actually three times that the buying of the son would take, the slave would take place, and then it would have to go to the court and to be rubber stamped right the way through it. But once it was done, once it was completed, you see what Jesus Christ did for us so that we could be adopted was just as complex and just as amazing and incredible, so that we could be adopted. So a new young slave becoming a son in a Roman family would have a new father. Literally, that man, that Roman dad, would be his father. Not stepfather, nothing, just my father. He would have a new family. His brothers and sisters would be his brothers and sisters. Not my stepbrothers and sisters, but legally that. There would be a new fortune. The inheritance of that family would be upon him. There would be the ring from as a young boy, given the ring of the family. And I guess we don't get a lot about that today because as a young boy growing up, wearing rings was not my thing. But having gotten married, I got used to this one, and now I like this one, and then there's a couple others I like as well. But, it's different. Back then, the wearing of a ring always had something about it. If we go back to the prodigal son, if we go back to Joseph, the giving of a ring was an area of authority, of redemption, of transformation going place. But it was also for the ring bearer to be able to align themselves and say, I'm a part of this family. And with this ring, I have authority. Because a lot of those times in that ring was the seal of the family. And so on the back of a letter with wax, that could be pressed, and there's the authority would be given, or it could be stamped in ink and put onto a mark to make a mark instead of a signature. The emblem of the family that was held on that ring had such significance, such authority, such a place of belonging. And so it meant a lot. The other amazing thing was is that that slave, if he had other debts that was what put him into slavery, they would all be cancelled. They wouldn't be paid off. They would be cancelled. Done. Sold. Done. No more hanging over their heads. No more coming back to them. No one coming up to the father of the new household saying, "Your slave owes me this." No, it's done. It's cancelled. Completely set free. They have a new freedom. And because of all this, they have a new future. A new future. Could you imagine having been a slave in that time and that place and then going through this amazing adoption process? To have all those amazing blessings just because someone went through that process. Well, let me grab this now and spell it out for you and I that we can grab hold of for what we go through. When we choose to turn to the Lord and accept what has been done for us in Christ, we are not just sold out of slavery, we are legally adopted sons and daughters of Abba Father, God Almighty. We can truly say, as Jesus taught us to say, our Heavenly Father. We find that we are a part of the Heavenly Father, a heavenly family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Plus we get an added bonus, as Pamela shared online last week. We get a whole bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ. Apparently, according to one of my stats, 2 billion brothers and sisters in Christ right around the world. And I know from the little bit that I've travelled, whether it be to Malawi, to the Solomons, or even to the United States, that when we go to a place with other believers, there's an amazing connection that takes place. And so it's very, very incredible and so significant to be able to have that bigger brother and sister. There are certain denominations that have talked about, hey, brother Ian, where's Ian gone? He's over there. Brother Ian, Sister Dell, you know, all that sort of stuff that took place. We don't use that so much these days. But the reality is we have much more in the area of brothers and sisters. We have a new fortune. Our debts are cancelled. And coming into Christ Jesus, our debts are cancelled. Just in case you're reading that the wrong way, your home loan is not cancelled, no. If you've not to Jesus, you've still got to pay off your mortgage and that sort of thing. But all the debts in the spirit realm are just cancelled. You get to walk in this. Your sin is gone. Our Father is the one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, so we can go to him and pray through things and trust in him. Our new freedom comes about because our chains are broken. We have liberty as children of God, no longer slaves to sin. Adoption manifests the faithfulness of God and has been and will be committed to us for eternity. It's not just here while we live, it's forever. It is for eternity. Adoption displays the love of God as he is willing to embrace us as his children forever. Adoption highlights the grace of God as there is nothing we can do and nothing that has been done by us to help us deserve it or earn it. It's all on God. It's what God does for us. We can't sit there and wear our best clothes and say, adopt me, look at me, I've got my best smile, my hair's combed. It's what God does on our behalf. We can often be burdened with self-confidence, worrying about whether we measure up, living in fear, thinking of ourselves as failures, enslaved by the demands and the expectations of others around us, or by the physical appetites that can sometimes come upon us and the temptations of this world. But Paul wants us to know that through the spirit of adoption, that we can help to us to know that we are set free and we can celebrate that. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, these are sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. There's that crying out, Abba Father again. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. Again, that's a beautiful package that comes together because of the Spirit of God. Did you notice how many times the Spirit of God was mentioned there? A lot of the time today we've talked about what the Father God did and what Jesus has done for us being in Christ. But this passage in Romans 8 talks about the Spirit of God. So when I've talked today about the heavenly family, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit working together in our adoption, it's true. The Bible brings it out very, very clearly. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit bring us into this amazing heavenly family that we are a part of. We are in Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit comes about us. Now this Abba Father part, it's something that is incredibly significant. As a young 21-year-old boy living in Tasmania in 1985, for those who were on trivia last night, that was the same year that Live Aid came out in Africa. Not 1984, Matt, but 1985. And I was living in Tasmania, and the group I was belonging to in the Church of Christ and then my work in the radio station, they did a 10-week course on the Father Heart of God. A guy called Floyd McClung from YWAM Days wrote a book called The Father Heart of God, and they did a whole ministry about it. I went through that 10-week course, and it did an amazing work in my life through my upbringing as a child. And now my dad was a good dad, but he worked hard, and he covered the things that were important to him to do for us. In other words, he put a roof over our heads, clothes on our back, and he smacked us when we were naughty to make sure that we were doing what we were meant to be doing. And he did all those very well, the smacking one extremely well. But this is a reality of what my dad thought he was meant to do. So the whole Father Heart of God was, okay, does that mean God will put a roof over my head, clothes on my back and smack me when I'm naughty? So the picture needed to change a bit. And so I went through an amazing ministry, and it was incredible. And for many, many years, the way I always prayed was, Father God, Father God, Father God. I would just cry out to the Father in and through my prayers. So for me, the cry of Abba Father came through very loud and clear. But it didn't really hit home until I became a dad myself. And I had two little ones call me daddy. These days they don't call me daddy as much. Sometimes they call me grumpy old man, which I think means daddy, just as an older term. But I still envisage very loudly and clearly coming home from work one day. I was tired. It had been one of those days, and I got out of the car and I walked out of the carport, and just at that moment two little girls come running around and they crash tackled me, and they only went up just above my knees, but they both hugged me around my legs and cried out, Daddy, Daddy, it's so great to have you come home. And I can just imagine that's where we can be. We can cry out to God just like Michaela and Jamie would cry out to me as the big, strong dad in the house. And they were so small, little children. And I pray that you might know that, that you might be able to know that you can cry out, Abba, Daddy, Father God, and know that you are an amazing son, an amazing daughter in the family of God, and that you have this blessing, this incredible blessing. The church is not just an event or a transaction or a building or even a community of a religious order. It is a family. As we with our adopted family, we can expect to find not only the radical hospitality that is prepared to cross boundaries, but also to overcome obstacles. But there's a certain amount of chaos. Now, the reality is all of us live in a family, whether it be our family that we live in or the family we're a part of, the uncles and aunties and all that sort of stuff. Now, they always say there's always one Uncle Bruce in the family. We as a church have got two Uncle Bruces. Hi, Bruces. This is no aspersion on your name as Bruce. It's just a colloquial. So there's always the strange Uncle Bruce who can say the wrong thing at the wrong time and wear the wrong clothes to the wrong function. But we love our Uncle Bruces, don't we? We love them. And the difference in our family is what makes us family. And it also helps us to get to know and work with one another, to love one another unconditionally, because we all are quirky. One thing I've learned through this whole COVID time is people are strange. We are strange. Boy, do we get upset about everything and nothing all at the same time. And it's just crazy. So there's lots of grace to be had in and through our lives, into our family. And as the church, guess what? anyone can come in through those doors. We've got a whole bunch of people here today, all very different, all coming from different backgrounds, even some of them from different nationalities. But we become one family. And it takes time, energy, grace, mercy, the love of God working through us for us to truly be a family, for us to truly belong. And then to help one another to believe deeply who we are in Christ, and then to become who God has called us to be, and to go out and see other people come to be part of that family. It's got to be important that people are coming home to the family, that the prodigal sons come home so they can grab the robe, the ring, the sandals, and have the celebration of the fatted calf being killed. It's important that those that are lost can be found. It's important that those in darkness can come to the light. It's important that those that have listened to lies can come and know the truth and to be set free. This week, I've been going through this, have went and found one of my old rings. It's a ring I had. Some of you may know that this ring is very important. It's a wedding ring. Some may know the story of this wedding ring. Unfortunately, this ring is not the one Cynthia gave me when we first got married. It's the fifth wedding ring. As a youth pastor, there's different stories that happen, but there's different ones. Now, this one once was a stand-in wedding ring until I was shown to be able to look after a ring and not lose it so I could get a really good one. This is white gold with gold on top of it. And it's in the same model as my original wedding ring. But this one replaced it, and I haven't worn it for a while. But this week I've grabbed hold of this ring for me to symbolize it, to be able to put it on and say, yeah, this one says I belong to Cynthia and I have my earthly family. This one's reminding me at the moment that I belong to a heavenly family. I belong to a family of God, to other brothers and sisters. And I'm a part of something bigger and more amazing than I could ever dream or imagine. I want you to be able to belong to that family as well. And so this week, may you know Abba Father. May you know his love, his forgiveness. May you know it's so real. And if it helps, grab a ring, put it on, acknowledge, I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of Almighty God. I'm a son of the King, a daughter, a princess of the King. God bless you. Thank you very much. I'm going to hand back to the team as they continue to lead us in an area of ministry as we sing a song that will be very powerful into what we've just spoken about. Remember, God loves you, he has a plan and a purpose for you, and he wants you to belong to the family. Amen.